irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to All About Guitar with Jeff Lolo, only on LA Talk Radio.
Guitar, an amazing instrument. It has developed into an incredible voice in today's music. So many types of guitars, so many styles of playing, all sorts of gear. How does one make their voice be heard as a guitarist? My name is Jeff Floro and welcome to All About Guitar, where we talk tone, we talk technique, we talk gear. Where we discover how we can become better musicians in a world of constantly changing technologies. Where we take a good look at everything guitar. And sometimes not exactly guitar, but just as important. So we can be more successful as a musician in today's music scene. So sit back and relax, and let's explore All About Guitar. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to All About Guitar. We have a great show for you tonight, and we got some interesting things here. I want to welcome my guest, Jerry Dyer, from Surreal Amplification, and I'll tell you the story and how I met Jerry. A couple of years ago, I was at Lonnie Spector's LA Amp Show, and I won a Surreal amp. So I had no idea what was going on, and I didn't know that much about it. I had seen the amps at the show going through the rooms and stuff, but so I took the thing home, and I asked a bunch of my friends, had they, heard about that? And one guy said, "Don't get rid of it. It's one of the best." So I said, okay, well, I wasn't planning on getting rid of it, but I was going to, play with it. And the tone of this amp is great. And I met Jerry. Jerry explained to me, if you have any questions, whatever. And I said, no, we're going to put you on the show. We're definitely going to put you on the show. So I finally was able to put it together. But I saw him at the recent amp show, and he brought in some other new amps that are really, really cool. The 6V6 convertible and the Plexi Rec. And I was amazed. The tone on these things are just, great. And actually, I'll be honest with you, I was trying to set it up with power attenuators so that we could really push the power tubes. But we ended up not doing that. And he was able to dial it up using, just setting it up because we can't get real loud in the studio. And I'm still amazed. The tone is great. And to help me with this, and he's a great guitar player, so he's borrowing my guitar. He's going to use it. I'm going to sit back and listen more than play. But I also have another guest here that is of anybody that I think of with terms of a Marshall-type sound and great tone is my good buddy Steve Pfister. And as I told him earlier when I was driving in with my friends Doug and Rosalind are in the studio too, we were listening to Live Bullets, which he was using. You were using those, if I'm correct, you were using those silver Marshall.
It was Silver Jubilee, yeah.
Jubilee.
And by the way, hey now.
So, anyway, but the tone of Live Bullets, you got to get it. It's just one of the best sounding albums.
Thank you.
And for this setup, what I did, let me explain real quick. We got two cabinets in here. One of them has a Celestion Blueback. And right now, the amp that I won, the Colt 45, Jerry will explain, it's a little more than a Colt 45. That's set up with the Blueback right now. And then the Plexi Rec and the 6 V6 convertible have another cabinet with a cream back on it, Celestion cream back. So it's an interesting setup. So first of all, welcome everybody, but welcome Jerry. It's just great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much for having me here.
These are cool, really cool amps. I can't say enough. And also too, he gets the most interesting color Tolex I've ever seen.
They're beautiful to look at.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen some of these colors, especially the Colt. I've never seen that color before, so it's kind of really cool. But anyway, let's talk a little bit of your background and how you got into building the amps, and then we'll get into the amps, per se. Go ahead.
When I started building?
Yeah, how did you get into it?
Tearing apart things in high school.
That's
just,
the way.
Just gutting amps and starting from fresh. I think one thing that kids don't have today, what we had back in, like, I graduated in 83 from Westminster High School.
Mm-hmm.
And Westminster High School had a great, when you come in as a freshman, it had a great starter class. It had, like, one quarter of the year for electronics, one quarter for wood shop, one quarter for metal, not metal, but metal cutting, and one quarter for automotive, that, you know, to give people a feel of a trade. But then after that, they also offered an advanced electronics. So I ended up going sophomore, junior, senior year at a high school. By the time I was out of high school, I had a really good knowledge of electronics.
Well, that's cool. So you just started tinkering?
Yeah, and then the first Marshall I got, it just didn't have enough gain. So I just opened it up and started reading up on things. I got a lot of help from some forums, some of the guitar forums, you know. And just started making little changes and was completely blown away by how a minor change, you know, a resistor or a bypass cut, can make such a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you can really get in there and start. It's kind of like a balancing act. Mm-hmm. You can experiment what goes too far, what doesn't go far enough, what adds bass, high and low pass filters, and things
right.
like that. And yeah, it's just it just got me fired up.
So you were always you were really into the Marshalls.
Yeah, first amp was a Marshall.
Okay, you never fooled around with the Fenders.
Oh yeah, yeah, I've tinkered with them, but it's just that the Marshall was the first amp I had, and I really liked the tone of it. I didn't even really get into Fenders until like maybe 10 years ago, loving them, you know, because most of the ones I played back then when I was a kid, they just didn't sound that great.
Because one of the amps that you make is, if I'm correct, is a, it's like a Tweed?
Mm-hmm. The 6V6 is a Tweed Deluxe. If you plug in the front, and there's an input on the back for a higher gain sound, which can be foot switchable if you wanted to. But plugging into the front, it's basically dead on Tweed era Deluxe.
Oh, okay.
Tweed Deluxe.
So it's actually like
the Tweed ones. I forget what that is, maybe 5E3. I'm not positive. I think it's 5E3.
And then the Plexi-Rec is like a 60s Plex?
The Plexi-Rec is pretty unique. It has a preamp that's similar to a Trainwreck Express.
Okay.
If you know about Ken Fisher and the amps that he made, he made, you know, beautiful sounding amps that just were incredible. And the power section of that is I use the standard Plexi power section, but these transformers came from Haybauer, and they're from Ken Fisher's specs. Mm-hmm. They still have those numbers there, and they will make those for you through Mojo, mojotone.com.
Oh, okay.
You can get the Haybauer transformer.
Okay.
Those are great guys too, mojotone.com.
And then just briefly explain what the Colt 45 is.
The Colt 45, the one you have, has a kind of a long history. It was built on the very first chassis run that I did. So it's been used at a lot of different shows as a lot of different amps. It started out as basically the Colt 45, which is a dead-on copy of JTM 45, another one of my favorite tones, is the cranked KT66 sound, you know. But that one has been, it's been that, and the first person who owned it was my buddy Wes. He's in OC Metal Shop, and he used it with the Bad Cat Releash, or Unleash, or whatever. It's got like a loop in it, a fixed loop, and a power section, like a 200-watt Class D power section, which is pretty cool. But he wanted, the KT6 were just too round, and he said rotund was his word. They're just a little too much, so I built him a different amp, and he's using something different, some different surreal. I forget which one he has. But then it became a high gain version of the Colt 45. Did that one, I forget, does that one have the solid state rectifier? Is there a tube rectifier in there?
I think it's.
It has a tube rectifier, right?
I think so.
So it's still only 45, but it should be labeled like a.
No, you had
plus.
Told me at the show that it was actually like a JTM 50.
Yeah, so just depending on whether or not it has the tube rectifier or the solid state rectifier.
Okay, maybe it has.
But it doesn't matter. It's, you know, it's a little squishier.
It sounds great.
Yeah.
So, but now before we start trying the amps out, let me explain also too. We have the Plexi Rec, we have the 6V6 and the Colt 45. We're going to try those. I brought in a guitar that I just had finished built by Joel Grant. And I want to just shout out to Larry Pollock at Aero Pickups. We have his HB6s in there, and they're humbuckers with an extra coil. So when you split it, it has a much fuller sound. It doesn't have that thin sound that normally happens when you split a humbucker to a single coil. And it's on an ES-339 Epiphone. I have a Bigsby put on there. There's a Schaller tunematic bridge on there. Durrell nut, so it's self-lubricating. And Grover heads on there. So that's the one guitar that we have. The output of the pickups are a little lighter, so he's got to work a little harder to pull sustain, but it's got a lot of tone and overtones, and you can hear the difference, and we'll show that in a minute. And then I want Steve to tell us about this guitar, because this is a new guitar that he got.
This is a Godin Montreal Premier, and what this is their Supreme model. And what I like about this particular guitar, it's a 335 killer.
Mm-hmm.
And where the neck joins the body, you get a lot easier access to the upper frets. And again, it's all the appointments are pretty much aftermarket. It comes stock with Godin.
Mm-hmm.
The only addition I did because of the Bigsby was add the Spurs L gears.
Mm-hmm.
Because mainly it's just so hard to string the thing. You know, you're in the dark, you're
right.
Hotel rooms or whatever. It's kind of challenging. So
you have the full Bigsby B7. You might want
right.
to get that little thing I have on my Bigsby. Did you see that?
I did, and I take a little umbrage with you there because I lose a little sustain with that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It makes life so much easier. I agree. But you know, every little part, particularly no roller bridge, like we were discussing, Jerry and I, right before the show, is that if you keep the nut cut properly, and it's a go-to bridge, and no rollers, you know, you're playing shows, you're sweating all over it, those rollers bind up.
Mm-hmm.
They do. If it's a home instrument or a casual type of thing, and you're not really asking a lot of the Bigsby, I think the roller works great. But if you keep it, you know, less moving parts, less things go wrong.
Yeah, no, that's
and,
true.
And it kind of
works.
That's true. But this guitar, with this kind of H bracing mm-hmm. that Godin has come up with, it gives me the best qualities of a 335 with a little smaller footprint.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not...
It's like a Les Paul. It's a little bigger than a Les Paul, and it's semi-hollow. So it's kind of best of both worlds.
You kind of get the best. And what will happen with these amps is we're going to get a kind of a sound that drives the top of the guitar as well. It just doesn't... The sound is bigger. It's a fatter sound.
Yeah.
Rather
now,
than a...
You
a
mentioned earlier, before we play, the pickup setup, because that's significant to this your tone. And when we were playing with through the amp, which you'll hear in a minute... It's really nice. The blend between the two pickups are great.
Again, they really have... There's a lot of different pickup options you can get with this instrument. But just generally what Godin has come up with is kind of something on a little modified version of a Duncan. They're all Seymour Duncan pickups, by the way. Custom. They call it a Custom 3 in the bridge. And I don't find it a very high gain pickup at all. I find it like a little bit hotter PAF. And there's an El Nico, too, in the neck. I was thinking it was a PAF, but I kind of forgot. But they really balance well between the two things. And what I find on the hollow body instruments, to try to get this kind of tone we're going to get for you here in a minute, that sometimes the balance between the two pickups is really off.
Well, let's show that now. Which amp is he in right now?
He's plugged into the 6V6 convertible.
Okay, so it's like a tweed. He's going through a tweed.
Yeah.
And that modified tweed, that's what everybody wants. That's the sound that we all desire, those tweeds. But anyway, okay, here's neck pickup. Let me turn down a little bit here on the guitar. Thank you. then there's the bridge.
Digs in, he gets what I was telling Jerry about, that bloom sound. It's just great.
That on the hollow bodies, that the difference in a pickup really shines more than, you know, a solid body.
Yeah.
I could really hear the flavors of the pickups a lot different than my Les Paul.
That soundboard affects, it's vibrating, so it's affecting the whole sound as opposed to your Les Paul. That's just a slab of wood. You're getting more of the pickup.
Mm. It's more focused. That's what I find. This is a little more wild and woolly, but even the two together. Let's go up here. That's with the two.
And the blend between those two pickups, that's a good combination for such different pickups.
I think they hit it. And you can, like you said, when you hit the bloom. Just a volume and a tone as well. No, so
sweet.
So this 6V6 is basically a standard. It's like a Fender preamp stage. You're putting more gain in it, but I mean, but basically it's 12 AX7s and 6V6 power tubes.
Yeah.
And the
thing about the original Tweeds, people will tell you if you hit like a low E, it kind of gets a little flubby. So there's a few caps in there that you change. The Fender used like a 0.1, if you know a little bit about the caps for output coupling caps. I just switched those to like a Marshall value, you know, a 0.022, to get rid of that low end overload, so to speak. So it just has a little bit.
Yeah, it's tight. Like it's tight sounding. Now the other thing too is that amp, which is interesting, that with the Creamback, it gets glassy when you play clean. You notice that the Creamback's noted for that, but the Creamback also, we're not really overdriving it, so you're not really getting as much speaker distortion, which is a part of the sound. But that speaker will break up nice. It has a really nice sound to it. Now with the 6V6, I know you do mods and you do other stuff, because I know like the Cult, you can get different add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
What type of mods are available for the convertible, or are there? Is it just that's it?
If he plugs into the front, he'll get like a much lower gain. So, you can get effects loop, you can get a line out, all the basics.
So you can add anything you want.
Yeah, basically every amp that I put out before it gets delivered, I work with the customer and get a feel for what they want and what type of music that they mm-hmm. play. So basically, like the last 6V6 I sold is a little different than this one. You know, and the next Plexirec I sell is going to be slightly different than this one, because someone
you
might
make it to what they want. Well, you had at the show, you had a 6V6 that had like not bamboo, but like it had a different type of cover, but it sounded...
Oh, yeah. That was from, like, the first show I did. The first amps I did had the...
Now, what was different about that one? Because it sounded... Now, he had a 212 cabinet. He had a setup there, and he was using his system, and then we were in a room, and it was, you know, it was, he could crank it up. But, God, that thing had such high end. It was great.
I mean, yeah, right now we've got his kind of dialed back a little bit just for the room. But yeah, it does the exact same thing.
So this amp has that type of top.
Yeah, there's a little tone switch there and a tone switch on the back, like for gain and okay. treble. And
well, let's plug him into the PlexiRec now.
Okay.
And let's take a listen to that and see. So this has that train wreck front end and then the Marshall power stage. Okay, he's gonna
switch. Actually got to play through a train wreck amp in Nashville many years ago.
Beautiful.
And it was really a culty amplifier. That's really cool. And
okay, you should be on.
I love the tubes.
No, this is a perfect example of why tube amps are still tube amps. To understand that we're not it sounds huge because I'm using a great mic on this system and I have it cranked up on the board, but it's actually not that loud. So he's trying to pull feedback, and the reason it's not is literally it's too soft. It's not moving the head of the top of the guitar. But God, that sounds great.
It's
got so much gain.
Can we talk real quick about the power, the output tubes?
Yeah,
the difference between the two. This is, you can tell just so by the touch, the EL34 sound.
Yeah, it definitely has that Plexi vibe.
There you go.
Even if it's a difference in gain, you still hear that squishy slap sound from a crank Plexi.
And regardless of what everybody can hear tone wise, there's such a difference under the fingers between the two amps, and they're both really pleasing. It's real easy, but easy to play. That is because the notes are jumping out. But you get that different feel of those EL34s, and we all kind of grew up with that Marshall sound. Mm. That's the sound we wanted.
Yeah.
And I might be going out on a limb here, but I think when you went to modify that first Marshall, we all wanted that little extra push over the hill that we didn't get. Mm-hmm. And I'm the same way. This right away, even with this low volume, we're getting...
And you're pulling harmonics too. That's the that's the distortion circuit there. If you squeal, you're going to... That's his gain stage. That's your preamp, right?
And the extra color that goes along with that. Like, say, you don't get that with a modeling amp. I don't care.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. This is so organic.
And that beeping you're hearing are our cell phones picking up on that.
Yeah.
With the cell phone.
Okay. We can't get rid of it. We have to literally take the phones out of it.
But yeah, it's
God, it just sustains.
That's the
too.
Sound that we want. Is, so if we can see how it does four note chords, right? Or adult chords, as they say.
Thing just screams.
Jeez.
I love that. That thing is, that's just really, really, really nice.
That is fun. Wow.
And again, same type of options. Or is that, I mean, there you can have, besides the loop out or anything other type of...
Yeah, pretty much anything you want. I can just, I'll dial up for you.
Okay.
Like I said, they're all...
And again, like this one too, they're made to order pretty much to what the person
wants.
Yeah,
I mean, it starts out the basic, all the basics are there, you know, the preamp, the power amp.
Well, this one definitely is the Steve Pfister model.
Yeah, and it's when you start mentioning magic words, effects loop, because that's the thing about the old Marshalls too, that we want a certain sound, and we're really not talking mega high gain. But just to be able to have some pedals, just a little bit of a little delay, mm-hmm. or perhaps some, you know, a nice little reverb, and have it never sounds right to me in front of the amp. Mm-hmm. My life would be so much easier if it did. But
well, the thing I've always seen with effects loops with some of the amps that I've used, I don't have a lot that mm-hmm. do. I have a lot of older Fenders, and but the problem was is that the gain. You would lose gain going through the effects loop. I lost sustain. I lost, you know, I couldn't push it. Mm-hmm. There was always something. It was less.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you've experienced that.
I have. I'm lucky to still have an old 50 watt. I think it's a 79. And I had it rebuilt. It was a really nice amp, and I had an effects loop put in, and that's the same problem. I can't use it. It's something, it was modded by kind of a reputable dude, but it just did not, it doesn't sing, I don't use it. Mm-hmm. So I don't use it for that, is what I mean. But I really wanted that loop put in that amp, because that's a classic amplifier. Mm-hmm. But this, we're killing with this, with all the options and all the different things.
Yeah, no, this
is awesome.
Well, both of them that we just heard, I mean, both of those are totally different designs, but... just myriads of tone. I'm going to turn you back up. I have you down so you're not buzzing so much because we're picking up all the phones and stuff. But the let's try him now, if it's all right. Let's go into the Colt 45 and let him...
Colt 45. I love that name. That's great. Fantastic. So what is the configuration on this amp? Is it... What are our outputs?
This starts out JTM 45-ish.
Okay, yeah. That's right.
And you can get pretty close to that sound if you just dial back the gains. But it's meant to be a little hotter straight out of the box.
So oh, wow.
That's going to be... Even though it says volume, one of them is actually a gain.
So...
You're getting a little different tone with the blueback. It's a little deeper,
okay.
Less top end.
Can we dial the gain back just a little bit?
Yeah.
So I'll play, turn the guitar down a little bit. There you go. See how the low end is coming live? Yeah.
as you can hear, the KT66 puts out more of a vintage-y low end that my buddy Wes, who plays metal, it didn't really jive well for him, but you can hear like Clapton-esque, you know, low end on some of that.
Yeah, it's the John Mayall Clapton era type of
feel. Yeah, the low end distorts differently with the KT66.
Yeah. And it's a good marriage with the blueback.
That's what came to mind when you were thinking, like, earlier in Clapton.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That kind of a sound. It's great. Wow.
And that's actually, so it's either 45 or 50 watts, right?
Yeah, that one's, 45 or 50 watts.
I can't remember.
All I got to do is look in the back and we'll figure it out. But we'll do that.
But it's got plenty of power. I mean, the thing is great, but it sings and it breaks up nice. It just has a real rich.
Yeah, it was a loud 50 watts, I remember, at the show.
Wow. Now, let me ask you a little bit about some of the other models, because you make a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, three or four more models. Yeah.
So you have the AKA 100?
The AKA, yeah.
What's that?
The AKA stands for also known as. This amp was originally called the Atomica, but another builder, a friend of mine, wanted to use that, so him and his crew asked me if I would change the name. So I changed it, and I honored that agreement for 2 or 3 years, and then when I saw that they were barely putting out any amps under that name, I took it back. So the AKA... There's a few out there. There's quite a few out there with that name on it. But now that amp's the Atomica 100. Mm-hmm. So on my website, I think it still says AKA. But that is the Atomica 100.
So what's that basically set up as?
Just keeping up with everybody. It's the hot-rodded 100-watt Marshall amp. It's going to be similar to the Friedman HBE, the Cameron CCB, amps like that.
Okay, so
that's the vibe, the higher gain Metro, Metropolis, mm-hmm. George Metropolis, great amp.
And then you have the SMK2.
The SMK2 is gone. It's called the Dual Class 75, and that one's pretty cool. It's sort of like a Boogie Mark III. Mm. It has an output transformer that lets you run both EL34s and 6L6s. It runs the EL34s in a Class A mode at only 15 watts, so you can really crank those guys. And then you kick in the 6L6s in Class AB for another 60 watts for a total of 75. And you can really hear the two different power tubes working together. It's pretty interesting.
So the EL34s are Class A mode at 15 watts?
15 watts, yeah.
And then the 6L6s are Class B?
AB. The typical, just your standard amp that... Everybody
and
uses the Class
AV,
yeah.
So you can switch between both EL30. That's very good.
Yeah. Dropping down to 15 is pretty cool. And it doesn't get, you would think in a high-gain amp it would get way too squishy, but it doesn't. It still retains a vintage-y sound.
Big difference between the two tube sets?
Yeah, the 6L6s, I never liked them for a long time, but in a high-gain amp where you're pushing a lot of preamp gain, the 6L6 is great because it's more of a smiley face. It's got, a crisp top end and a nice thick bottom end with kind of like almost a little dip in the mids. Like I say smiley face if you're looking at an EQ.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. As to where an EL34 would be almost like a frown. You have like a spike or a bell in the mid-range area.
Mm-hmm.
It's more mid-focused. So the two together just create like a pretty cool wall of sound.
So you can switch either or both.
Yeah, both either or and both if you want.
And
it
both.
Just depends on what the customer wants.
Oh wow!
Quick question.
Go ahead,
Jerry. What is your tube of preference, brand wise? I mean, everybody's talking Chinese and Russian tubes.
Right. As far as power tubes.
Yeah.
I like just the small bottle Electro Harmonix EL34.
Okay.
I haven't had any issues with those. Whatsoever. I've had issues with some JJ power tubes and especially JJ preamp tubes. I've had a lot of problems. I do like the Ruby C5 for a preamp tube. And again, the Electro Harmonix, the standard Electro Harmonix 12 AX7. The long plate is good in certain positions. Electro Harmonix long plate is good in certain positions. And I like to run an AT7 in the phase inverter. I read some things that Miles Rose wrote quite a few years ago, and I hear it, I feel it in the amp. So,
what do you like for the 6L6s?
Electro-Harmonix. Electro-Harmonix. If somebody has a request, you know, obviously if you want some Wing C's or something like that, we could do that. They're a little,
right.
real slight upcharge. That's what the customer wants.
Yeah, no, he has his own factory there. I think he owns the factory in Russia.
Mike Myers.
Electro-Harmonix.
What's his name, Mike? It's
Mike Matthews.
Yeah, Mike the Mike Myers. Matthews Freedom yeah. Amp. That's all
you
I remember.
You know, I have one of those at our shop where I work.
Those were great for one of the first battery operated. Those things were loud.
I remember those. Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
We just fixed one.
He's great, and his pedals. I mean, all the, you know, I've even seen I've even seen a photo of Hendrix using LPB1s driving the Marshalls.
Wow. Yep.
So even at that time, people were
a lot of people use the LPB1.
Yeah.
And a lot of the boosters out there these days are a copy of that exact circuit and just rebranded. You know.
Yeah. No, they're
that's a great
song. Yeah. So okay, so now the SMK2 is the dual
class 75.
Dual class 75. And then you have the classic modern 100.
The classic modern is 606 based. Like we were just talking about the smiley face EQ. It's the difference between that amp and the EL34 based amp. If you know the difference between cathode following tone stack or a plate driven tone stack, a lot of probably listeners do know the difference between the two. The classic modern is four gain stages right out of the box, as to where the AKA switches between three and four gain stages in the preamp, foot switchable. The classic modern is just a monster straight out of the box. It's just a gain machine. It's along the vibe of, say, a PV 5150-ish, you know, the old 5150, which is now, what's that model they call it now, the 6505 It's along that. It's in that realm.
Oh, okay.
That was the idea for that, a slightly more modern gain monster.
The PVs use 6L6s?
Yeah.
So it's like a beefed Fender.
Yeah.
Way beefed.
Yeah.
A lot of
way
sustain,
beefed.
A lot
yeah.
of gain.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even in Fender tone anymore.
And then the classic is the 50-watt version of that?
The classic squared?
It said on the website classic.
That's probably the classic squared. The little two to the power of two is probably not visible. I don't know why. I have to check that out. That is actually, that's a pretty cool amp idea I've had. I only have one built, but the idea was you choose the two preamps that you want. You want a Vox and you want to mix it with the Blackface Deluxe.
Yeah.
Or if you want the Marshall Plexi with the Vox, or the Marshall Plexi with the the Fender Super, which is a great little preamp. I mean, not that there's a lot of difference between the Fender preamps, but it was along that. You choose what you want. The Classic Squared has two of the classic preamps.
Just two.
Yeah.
So you can get like a Vox and a Marshall or a Vox and a Fender.
And then they both feed into a low wattage power section similar to the 6V6.
Okay.
It could be 6V6 based. That's the starting point is 6V6, but if you want a different power section, you can have it.
That's very cool.
Wow.
Yeah, I have one at the shop in Whittier. If you want to hear it, for anyone who lives in Whittier, it's that Perfect Guitar and Amp Repair. Okay.
Oh, I'm going to have to go there and check that out. But you never made one with all three, so I could get Vox, Fender, and Marshall.
Yeah, I'm out of space.
Nah.
Pick your chassis. I like that.
Chassis too small.
Yeah, but I mean, that's kind of cool. But now, let me ask you, just as, you know, the Vox preamp, if you could give like a comparison between the three, like the Fender, the Vox, and the Marshall?
Difference between the Vox.
Because obviously the Vox tone.
Yeah, it's chimey, and the mid is shifted. The mid is not as pronounced as like a Fender, you know, Blackface Fender.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that it's gone. It's just shifted because when you crank it, you definitely hear the mid. It's just a little bit more focused and in a slightly different spot. But people refer to the Vox as a chimey sound.
Yeah.
You know, just a really pretty.
When it got clean, it got really, it had this really, but it was a different type of tone to it. I don't know if it was the speakers or it was the circuit, but, you know, if you listen to some of the early stuff, you know what I'm talking about, you know.
Is that Class A?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the thing. Everybody wants that Vox chime, but I found with rental amps and things, it's a hard thing to achieve. That sound that we all associate Vox with.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to get these days.
Right.
You know,
there's a lot of Vox amps out there that aren't, you know, even close to the original Vox.
Circuit,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Hmm. They build that model. It's a, you know, an expensive model.
Yeah, the AC30, and it's hand-wired. There is a difference between hand-wired and the circuit.
Yeah.
Even the Fender reissues of the Deluxe and, you know, the Black Faces, there's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it with when you're using wire and solder joints, it's all different than the circuit board.
If you need to make a repair, it's just, you know, it's like opening up and saying, "Oh, thank you, God, I could repair this in a heartbeat," you know, as opposed to tracing down something that might be on the other side of a PC board, board made in China or something.
Now, let me ask you this in terms, because you're getting some pretty vintage tones. Even though you're modifying them and getting a lot of gain.
Mm-hmm.
The subject of caps and some of the other electronics that you use in the hand-wired ones, is that more difficult to get, or are you getting, is the quality of that stuff pretty consistent?
Yeah, the majority of them are just anyone can buy them from CE Distribution. It's just like the little yellow 0.022 cap for the most part. You know, I change those up depending on which model. Sometimes I use the 0.047 or 0.033, depending on what I want, how I want to shift it a little bit. But yeah, I've found that I really don't hear too much of a difference. If you were to build two exact amps with exact parts, those two sound different from each other anyways.
Right.
You know, I'm talking identical.
Well, every old amp, I mean... You could put two dual Showmans in front of each other,
and they're
going to
be
totally
different. So trying to do a comparison with caps is really hard. But sometimes I go on eBay, and if I find a good deal on like some oil and paper, some old vintage caps,
right.
I get them and pop them in there. You know, it just depends on what I have at the time when I build it.
Well, like my old Fenders, some of them are 45, 50 years old now.
Yeah.
The caps went out, so I eventually had to recap all of my tube amps.
Mm.
And that was the trick. The person that did it for me, he was able to get some that had close to the original tolerances.
Right.
But he said it was difficult to find, you know, the ones that were like those.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make them the same. And some of the because of the difference in the technology and stuff, they don't need those. But that's part of that. That's a critical part of the tone of the...
Right.
You know, my old Cream Bandmaster, that amp has a certain sound.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just wondering if you have seen that. Because, like, your 6V6 convertible is going for a vintage sound, even though it's high gain. It's still a vintage type of a circuit.
That one definitely has the run-of-the-mill CE caps, yellow. They come in yellow. Sometimes they're white, run-of-the-mill. The white ones are Mallory's. But this one that we're hearing right here is all the yellow ones. So it's just... Now, generic cap.
Now, your power supplies, too, which affect the sound,
are they pretty consistent,
or are you...
Yeah, they're going to be the same. That's the part that stays rock solid, you know.
Okay, but I mean, I'm asking, like, also, too, because I've talked to people that, like, for example, make pedals.
Uh-huh.
And it's really hard to get parts that are consistent. If you're going to make, you know, over 10 years, you know, the parts are not that consistent.
Yeah.
You know, like, for example, distortion units, you know, germanium or whatever type of, a transistor you're going to use, they throw out like 100 to 1 sometimes.
Right.
It's so bad. Do you see that in terms of, like, the power? Because you're using...
Not in a power section, because a typical Marshall power section is really... It's simple. There's not a lot of parts. There's not a lot of caps in there. You're talking a handful of, you know, for the power section itself, you're talking a handful of caps and resistors. There's very little there.
And you make your own?
The power sections? Yeah, they're mine.
You make your own power supply?
They're all hand-wired by me.
Oh, wow. Oh, that makes a big difference. Yeah. Big difference.
It's probably the easiest part of the amp to build. You know, the power section is just, it's the same one that's been around since the invention of the tube. You know, the funny thing, you know, the Line 6 that Bogner did the power section for, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge deal. The power section is the same. It's a Marshall-type power section that's existed since the beginning of time with the RCA schematics.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Now, how much difference is the Marshall power section from a Bassman?
Not a lot. They're almost identical. I think the difference is negative feedback and how that's used. You know, Marshall has a real simple way of doing it, and Fender decided to really use that. I mean, Marshall decided to really use it differently and create more of a like an aggressive thing out of it.
Because we all know the original Marshall was a copy of
their copy of
the Bassman.
They are really, really close. Right. But that difference that they did made a big difference. You know, got to give.
Well, he
them
was
the
getting parts
for that.
A lot of the companies, and I'm not sure about Fender. I know Peavey started out, and one of the things that kept their cost down is they got a lot of surplus parts from the war, and Marshall did too. And that's where they got a lot of that stuff, mm-hmm. and it had the tone. That and the tubes, they used a lot of Mullard, and there was some other types of. The power tubes that they got in England at that time, they were back then. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like RCA over here, we were making the tubes. It was a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
Quick question about life expectancy. For, like, what do you figure, like, we all have this vision of tone in our head. We have that one Fender amp that we loved. We had one thing. How long, what's... Because, you know, when the caps go bad, they go bad, and then the amp is totally different. Say you're consistent, like, say, on a build, and what's the life expectancy of all of the parts? Like,
well, you know, if you've got, like, an old Bandmaster, and right. it's biased right, and you've got quality parts in it, mm-hmm. but you're getting it loud every other night for stuff.
Playing it a lot.
Yeah, once they're dialed in, you'd be surprised mm-hmm. at the life you get out of the tubes. We're talking about the tubes.
Yeah, my tubes lasted a long time, but I took care of them.
Okay.
You know, it's almost like you don't want to baby it. I know that, like, a lot of people who turn their amps off for a long time and then go turn them back on, they have more problems than someone who's beating the hell out of it every
right.
other night.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
they want to be played. You know.
I was told by somebody that at least every 6 months you should turn your amp on, whether you have it up cranked.
Okay.
Just let the tubes. Let the thing run for like an hour just to let it, you know, warm up and work. But I mean, my Bandmaster, I lost power tubes after about 35 years.
Jeez.
The only thing that broke at the very beginning was the pilot light and the power supply, and Fender replaced it the year after.
Wow.
And the caps lasted 47 years.
47. Well, okay, that's a good run. That'll work.
But again, simple things. Like one simple rule, when I set the amp up, I put it on standby at the very beginning so it warmed up.
Mm.
Played the gig and I didn't touch it. When I finished the gig, I immediately shut the amp off, packed everything else up until the filaments cooled. And the last thing to move was the power amp. And your tubes will last a lot longer. Because they get hot and they're brittle. And if you... I saw guys that would just turn their amp off and throw it in the car, and their tubes would go out. And they're like, "I don't understand. You got to let them cool down.
Let them cool down."
So, we're out of time.
Interesting.
I told you it'd go by fast. I just want to mention www.surrealamplification.com. Check his site out and check these amps out. They're really good. And this place in Whittier, Perfect Guitar and Amp Repair, have the amps there, so you can check them out. The 6V6, you got to really dial it up. Again, we're getting a good sound out here, but when you really push the speaker with it, it's a whole different world when you're moving the air.
You really feel it under your fingers. I want to stress that. Everybody is kind of getting a little bit dumbed down these days with modeling and computer recording. You play through one of these amps, I guarantee, you just feel it under your fingers. It's real inspiration.
Yeah.
This is great stuff, everybody.
Jerry, grab my guitar, and why don't you guys just do something really simple and take us out.
And loud.
And again, I want to thank Steve, Jerry, Doug, Rosalind for coming by and taking pictures while we're talking. And we'll take you out with a little bit of jam on these amps. And everybody have a great week.